Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite guru gardener, Lance Swaggart. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Yep, you're looking springy.
Yeah, sunburned face from pruning. I am done pruning, thank goodness. Oh, grapes aren't done.
You've done your peach trees and your cherries?
Yeah, everything's at my places. I'm still pruning for other people.
Yeah. Wow, you've accomplished a lot since we talked about pruning. It seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, it is springtime, and it seems like it's busting out all over. Bushes blooming, apricots blooming.
Yeah, it's 2 or 3 weeks early.
Yeah. Anything we can do as we approach maybe colder nights down the road for
our I love that spring kelp if you're worried about it.
Okay, kelp.
Mm-hmm. And it's a soluble kelp, so it actually is designed to spray.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. And it's a little dry, so if it doesn't rain like they're predicting, water things, especially some grapes or even those bulbs that are just starting to bud out, if not bloom, it would really appreciate. And they don't need much water.
Right, just a little sprinkle.
Yeah, but they'll really appreciate that. And if it's going to get really cold, there's always tarps, blankets, row covers.
Right. You know,
there's all those kind of things.
Right. Well, good luck to all the orchardists out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Be thinking about that. And we would like to take your call. We're talking tonight about grains.
Grains.
Yeah. Mostly about grains, planting grains, different kinds of grain talk. That's what it is. 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. Let us know your questions. Lance is another expert at grains, another thing that you do well. And what do we want to start with? It's spring. So should we talk about spring grains?
Yeah, we can start about the early spring grains. And these are ones, I'm sure there's numerous, more than I can even come up with. I just grow what I like to grow. So,
okay.
But there's actually a hard and a soft wheat, the spring wheat. The
spring.
Hard wheat, when I say hard, that means it's generally used for bread.
Okay.
And normally we think of hard winter wheats for bread, but there's actually hard spring wheat.
Okay.
Too. And then the soft wheats are actually your pasta wheats. They don't have as much gluten and stuff, and that's generally used for pastas, also known as durum wheats.
Okay, that's heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what are some of these spring wheats? What are we looking for if we were to look for this seed to plant?
It will say spring wheat.
Oh, it will? Okay.
Yeah, it will say spring wheat. And there's been some here, and some people that I've talked that used to grow it, they like the spring hard wheats because you got to work the field. The winter wheats will be more weedy because the weeds that come up in the late or fall and survive the winter and then come up in the spring, you don't have those in the spring wheats because you've disked and you've planted and you've marked. So it's actually not as weedy.
Right.
And, so there's an actual advantage to it.
And is that in the taste?
No, not in the taste. It's just you don't have weed problems.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
As simple as that.
Right.
You know, what the weed problem would be is having to clean it out of your grain.
Right. And that's a big part of it. Is cleaning the grain.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, we're going to sidetrack a minute. We've got Nathan on the line from Cedar Edge, and he's got some pruning questions.
Oh, so. Okay. That's
Hi,
fine.
Nathan. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
Well, I got those places empty for a couple years, and there's like 8 apple trees and a semi-dwarf peach tree, and the neighbor's got a cherry tree and apricots.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm trying to keep everything alive, so, because they've been neglected for a couple years, so I need to prune everything.
Yeah, and it has been pruned for several years?
Well, the place is empty for a couple years, so.
Okay, well, what you're going to do is real simple. This year, since it hasn't been taken, you don't want to prune it real hard. What you're going to do is take out anything dead and any of crossing branches, because that's what happens when you don't prune. And from there, you might want to, I don't know how tall they are.
They're pretty tall.
Yeah, you might want to bring them down a little bit. But if you prune them really hard right now, all it's going to do is go water sprouts straight up and grow right back up to where it was. So you want, you know, you don't want to do it too hard.
No, I got a lot of apples last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Yeah. Now, yeah, if you've had a lot of apples, it probably didn't grow so much. The fruit tree itself.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a heavy crop.
You know, yeah. You helped me, Lance, with my tree by just telling me to start with that dead wood.
Just starting with the dead
wood. Yeah, and then once you start with that, it starts to take shape, and you see exactly where you need to to prune, so that cleanup piece is...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did the dead wood last year, and I used it for smoking.
There you go. Good fruit tree smoking.
Yeah, yeah, right? Good, good. Now, you know, and that's really, it's really, really relatively simple. You're not, if they haven't been taken care of, like I said, the dead wood, and you've said you've already done that, and then thin it out some, you know, crossing branches. And if you want to bring it down a little bit, bring it down. Fruit, the stone fruit bloom on last year's growth. You can see it. It'll be reddish or shiny and supple. That's what it's going to bloom on. So you're going to leave some, but you're going to thin some. And apple and pears bloom better on last year's growth, and it will be the new growth. So you, again, you're going to thin some. There'll be some fruiting spurs on apples and pears. You'll see spurs. You're going to thin some of those out. You know, it's just a balancing act.
Right.
You know, and if you, and then you bring it down. Those water suckers, sprouts, whatever, cut them all out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I got, I think, a hazelnut tree.
You have a hazelnut.
Ooh, wow.
A filbert. Is it already started to bud out?
I didn't look at it yet. I know the apples are gone and the peach.
Yeah, the hazelnuts, filberts, I don't know what you have. There, and could it be one of those? Does it have catkins? Do you remember what it did last year?
Yeah, it's got spikes on it when they drop and they're dying. Hold on, I can go out here and look at it.
All right. Take us out there, Nathan.
Yeah. Most people don't realize.
Brown buds.
So okay.
What it's doing now.
So it's already budding out.
Yeah, it's starting to.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar. You don't see filberts around here too often, or hazelnuts. Is it more of a shrub than a tree?
Oh, no, it's a full-blown tree. It's okay. Probably a good, almost 40 foot tall.
Okay, you know what I think? That might not be the filbert. I think that might either be, I think it's actually a mulberry. Mulberries would look very similar.
My buddy thought it might be a mulberry, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah, that's what I suspect it is. If it's that tall,
off, it looks like nuts. I never cracked them open or anything.
Huh. Then the other thing it could be is a very large Hall's Hardy almond.
Wow.
And if it's...
Yeah, it's a pretty good sized tree. And it's somewhat in the way.
What would but... I'm troubleshooting. I'm trying to figure this out. There's other things that... Hardy pecans. Did it look like the shape of a pecan?
No.
They're round?
Really.
God,
no,
we're all over the place. He's stumping me.
No, it's got branches on, but it's growing. It's growing tall. It's got two. It's got one big split about 6 feet up, and then from there on, it's just growing up.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it could be a pecan tree. I've seen them around.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be that too.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds like
I'll
it's hard to prune.
Figure it out sometime this year.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. Are there any nuts on the ground? Any shells?
Oh, yeah.
What do they look like?
They look like my one buddy thought it was walnut, but my uncle used to do that. I was like, no, they're not walnuts. They're not almonds, so.
Well, it's a walnut. If they're round, it's a. Yeah, if it's round, it's a walnut or it's a black walnut.
It's probably a black walnut.
Yeah, because they're hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
I think it's the ball.
Yeah.
All right. You got it.
They make really good, they're really good in the fireplace, those black walnuts. It's hardwood with a lot of oil. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, Nathan. You like burning.
Or put them in the barbecue once it's hot, got some coals. Yeah.
Oh, I got plenty of it. So.
Okay,
right on.
I already started watering the apple trees and
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
And
it's time to do it.
Yeah, good deal.
So, all right, thank you.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Nathan. Good luck with all those trees.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to do with the grapevines because they're on the ground.
They're on the ground. Well, yeah, that's a pruning thing, and it's not quite ready. And you'd prune down to the wherever that new growth was from last year. You'd prune it down to two buds above that. Yeah, prune everything off.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
You
all
too.
Right.
Thank you for the call. Okay, 527-486-8166-KVNF now. Still pruning out there. Plenty of it to do. We're talking, though, about grains tonight and whatever you want to call about.
Yeah.
We were talking about spring grains and the hard and soft wheats. And what about watering those spring grains?
Well, you have to water them to get them up. And I suspect once they're up and growing, maybe once every 3 weeks or so.
Okay.
And once they head out, you might want to stop watering them. You water them right when they're heading out because they need moisture to make the seed heads.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep on watering it, what happens is, and this is in all grains,
mm-hmm.
that they will lodge. And lodge, all that term means is they fall over. They get too heavy, lanky, and
right.
they'll fall over. The wind will blow them over, you know, something like that. So you have to be careful at the ripening end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to...
Drier being better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned when we were talking about dryland farming,
uh-huh.
that a lot of wheat is just dryland farmed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole Front Range was, and the central wheat, the wheat area was all dryland farmed.
Right.
And now they're, you know, you hear the Ogallala aquifer
yeah.
being completely drained. It's so deep now. And that's because they put wells in and they started watering it. And you get a much more consistent crop, obviously.
Right.
But they're ruining that
the
aquifer.
Yeah. But, oh, boy.
Yeah. So, anyways, you can plant barley. I'm planting Tibetan barley next weekend. And I'm also going to be – well, I planted oats last year. Kamut's something else you can grow. Quinoa you plant now.
Okay.
You know, whenever the lamb's quarter germinates, that's when you plant it.
Right. When the lamb's quarter is up, that's when mm-hmm. you plant your quinoa. So
yeah.
that's some good stuff to get going right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 527-486-8166-KVNF now. Talking about grains and gardening, spring mm-hmm. gardening in general.
Yeah. Yeah, this Tibetan barley that I'm growing.
Yeah, what is that? That sounds
That's
fabulous.
The barley that the people in Tibet or the Himalayas grow, and it's the sampa. It's they triple roast it.
Mm.
And then they grind it up and they put the yak butter fat in it.
Ooh.
And it's, yeah.
Do you grow that every year? Or?
No, I haven't grown it for five or 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And this is one that's going, no matter what you do, is going to lodge. And there's actually, I talked to a friend that has traveled in those areas, and he said that the Tibetan people, or the people of the high country that grow, they actually have uh-huh. a song, Hope Singing, that the grains get so heavy that the barley falls over.
Oh, really?
They actually want it to fall over. You know, when you're harvesting by hand, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're harvesting with machines, that's
right.
where it comes in a problem. But anyways, they actually have a song for wanting the barley to get real heavy with grain so it falls over.
Oh, that's good. I want you to learn that song this summer.
I know that guy. I'll be seeing him in a few months.
Good deal. All right, so Tibetan barley going in,
mm-hmm.
and those are your spring grains that you're going to be planting.
Yeah. And there's many other kinds. This mm-hmm. is just what I've got here.
Right.
You know, I had the oats, the kamut, the Tibetan barley. It seems like a...
And you grew quinoa last year for
I do
the first time.
Quinoa last year mm-hmm. and finally got that cleaned. And
cleaning's a big part of it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, good deal. All right, what about moving on to summer wheats? When is it really time to plant summer wheat or summer grains?
Mm-hmm. Well, the minimum temperature is about 65 degrees.
Okay.
So you have to, if you want a temperature, put a soil thermometer out there.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And you can do that. And that's the minimum, but it will do better if it's 70 or 75. So if you feel like waiting till the first week of June, it mm-hmm. really does a lot better. It'll come up and it'll just grow like mad.
Yeah. And you've had it where you've planted a little bit early and had it germinate and grow, but not really.
Yeah, my corn last year was planted just a little. And it wasn't so much the date. It was just that I planted it and watered it, and then we got cool, moist weather. and that cooled everything down. And so it germinated,
right.
but it never took off.
Right, so just that temperature got a little cooler than you wanted it to be.
Yeah, and that's just what, sometimes that happens.
Right, that's farming.
Yeah, so anyways, and with corn, you're going to want to plant 100 to 300 plants. And 300, the more the better. I'm always shooting for around 300.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to plant it in rows, shorter rows over one long row. One long row isn't going to work. You're not going to get any pollination. It's wind pollinated.
Okay, and so that's really why you have this minimum planting deal, is you need it to pollinate.
You need it to pollinate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't plant that much and you're saving seed, then for some reason corn can decline and get weaker and weaker if you plant less.
Oh, okay.
So you want this for the genetic diversity.
Okay.
And the more the better. And you want to plant it in blocks. I plant technically about 7 rows of corn. And I get in about 280 to, depending on the corn,
mm-hmm.
280 to 300 plants in there.
Rows and blocks.
Rows and blocks. In rows, and I mean blocks, say a block of corn, because people have bigger fields. You know,
mm-hmm.
okay, you would plant a block would be, say, 10 rows, 100 feet long.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
A block of corn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have a lady planting. But I'm talking grain. So I have a friend that's going to plant 3 plantings of sweet corn. And that's for the farmer's market she's going to be going to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's a summer grain.
Yeah.
Okay. What else is considered a summer grain?
Well, there's millet, and there's sorghum, and teff is one that I've seen. That's a small grain from Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's amaranth. These are the ones that I've been growing. I haven't grown teff. I've seen it growing
mm-hmm.
here. But
And are those some of what we would call ancient grains?
If you get the old varieties, yes.
Okay, get the old varieties,
the old
right.
varieties, yes. Mm-hmm. They can all... teff is very old. Amaranth is from South and Central America
mm-hmm.
and up.
I think the Indians used to grow that amaranth quite mm-hmm. a bit. And you mentioned that it's a beautiful plant. I mean, something mm-hmm. that's just beautiful to grow. But it's a very competitive in the garden.
Yeah. Yeah. It's extreme. I've noticed anything within 2 feet of its... where it's planted will be stunted. Yeah,
it's just going to take over that area.
You can dig it up and you can find all the roots. It's pretty amazing. And the amaranth I grow is a reddish type plant with it's a Montano de Oro, mountain of gold.
Mm.
And so it's a golden colored amaranth.
Beautiful.
And it can get up to 6-7 feet tall. And when I harvest it, I just wait till the birds start eating a lot of it.
Then you know it's ready.
Now, last time I grew it, I was having a windstorm, and I was just watching that amaranth fall on the ground. So I went in and harvested and left it on the stalks,
uh-huh.
but it got it out of the wind, so it wouldn't fall on the ground.
Right. You're just watching it go.
It's like, no, we're not doing that.
What about soil for something like that? We've been talking about soil mm-hmm. quality
mm-hmm.
For the last few shows.
Yeah, most of your grains can do just fine on moderate to even poor soils.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. Corn is really the only one I fertilize when I do. This year I'm not fertilizing it, and it'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be growing a blue corn this year.
And do most grains need fertilizing? Did you just...
Only if it's really poor.
Really poor.
Again, mm-hmm. if you fertilize too much, it grows really tall and lanky, and then it lodges.
Mm-hmm.
So that's again, you know. But if you're hand harvesting, it's not a big deal.
Right.
You know,
right.
But if
that's
you got,
okay.
Yeah.
527-486-8866 KVNF now. I like that poor soil thing. Is that something? You know, if you've got a piece of your property that is poor soil, planting some grain in there like you would a cover crop.
Mm-hmm. You could plant something in there. And like the sorghum actually does not want to be fertilized and doesn't want to be watered very much. I made the mistake. I found that out once. I thought it would be such,
yeah,
because I knew how it grew, and I was doing this bed of flowers and stuff. And I said, oh, those stalks of sorghum with those beautiful white seed heads would look so beautiful. And I'm watering it and fertilizing because I had the flowers. Aphids, the whole thing. It was not, it didn't, the flowers did good. The,
right.
The sorghum didn't do very well. Sorghum is, if you have poor soils and not that much water, it's really good to have. It'll get about 2.5, 3 feet, the kind I have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there might be some more that get 4 or 5 feet tall. And it's white. This is a grain. It's not sorghum for sorghum syrup. That's broom corn, and that's something else.
Okay, and what do you do with this sorghum? Is it baking or?
You can grind it in flour.
Okay.
And it's actually, most sorghums are, I think, came from Africa and maybe the Middle East. I could be wrong on that. But in my book, in Africa, they like to make beer out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's a really good chicken food. You know, if you can't grow corn, you can grow this stuff.
Okay.
And it's,
that's a good
comparable.
Alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's comparable. And it is really quite beautiful when it's got everything, and it's sort of this reddish purple green leaves, but white seed heads.
Oh,
and
nice.
And it's quite striking.
Yeah,
and
nice contrast.
The last time I grew it, I had to net it because the birds really like it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Good way to bring birds into your garden.
Yeah, so if you want to bring birds. And I'm growing pearl millet. And not in our climate, but in longer season climates, it mm-hmm. can be really productive. Because I mentioned earlier, I don't know if I mentioned it here or with us, but grains tiller, they send up side shoots.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the longer the season on millet, it just puts up those side shoots like you wouldn't believe.
So it goes crazy.
Yeah,
huh?
And you get lots of them. And it's really, it's a real pretty grain. It looks like a cattail with all the grains on the sides.
Oh,
and sometimes
gorgeous.
It's gray, sometimes it's a grayish blue, sometimes it's white, sometimes it'll be a reddish tint. It's really quite pretty. Especially, and sometimes the stalks are green, sometimes they're purple.
Wow, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that growing this year.
Yeah, and that's another one that doesn't need much fertilizer.
Right, and just goes crazy with those shooting side heads going out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Should have mentioned this earlier about the tillering on the small grains.
Mm-hmm.
If you plant grains, the small grains, they plant them a little bit thinner, not so heavy, because what they do is they put up side shoots, tillering.
Mm-hmm.
And so one grain, if you plant them too thick, they'll only get one seed head. But if you plant them and give them space, they'll put up two or three tillerings, maybe four.
Right.
And with one grain, you've just quadrupled.
Yeah.
The amount of production. So it's one of those things. Again, you'll have to figure it with the grains you're growing, what the amount works for you.
Mm-hmm. But leave some room on these smaller grains.
Yeah, don't plant them as thickly,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do, you're still going to get grain. But it'd be interesting to see how little you can plant and still get a full crop.
Right. Now, what about yield on this grain? Because you're going to have to clean it and
mm-hmm.
then you're going to maybe make flour out of it or something. And so you need quite a bit of grain. So what do you need to plant in order to have working?
The main grains that I grow, the wheat and the spelt and the rye, and I plant those every 3 years, once every 3 years. And I get, that's 500 square feet, and I'll get 10 gallons of clean grain.
10 gallons for 500
square feet. And I say that because... I don't weigh it out. This is the containers I'm putting it in.
Sure.
You know, so that's just the way it is. I don't know how much weight that is.
Right. 10-gallon containers.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other grains, I'm growing approximately 250 mm-hmm. square feet.
And you get about?
2 to 3.
2 to 3 gallons containers.
No. 2 to 3 gallons.
Yeah.
But I'm mixing grains, so I'm not making straight spelt bread or straight wheat bread. I mix it, so that's why it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my bread is wheat, rye, spelt, Tibetan barley, maybe some white wheat, amaranth always. Yeah,
I'm mixing
it. The last bread was wheat, rye, spelt, amaranth, and oats.
Wow.
The oats that I grew last
delicious.
Year. Yeah, I grew all those. And the poppy seeds from what I grow too.
Nice. I didn't know that, Lance. I'm going to come up there and watch that, smell that bread bake. That sounds delicious. You mentioned rye in your bread, and mm-hmm. there's all kinds of rye. Is that a summer grain?
No, it's a winter grain.
It's a winter grain.
Yeah, so we really haven't mentioned winter grains because you can't plant them yet.
Right.
Well, it's too late. You're going to plant winter grains in late September, early October is when you're going to do those.
Okay. And lots of different kinds of rye.
Yeah,
there
there's lots
consider.
Of different types of rye. There's lots of wheat, lots of spelt. Oh, and this year I'm growing acorn, which is definitely mm-hmm. an ancient grain.
Right.
And there are some types of winter barley. Most barleys are spring grain, but there are some that are winter planted in the fall.
Okay. So we'll be talking about those yeah. down yeah. the road a bit.
Yeah. And the thing that you got to think about with wheat is you don't want the hybrids. You really do want the older varieties.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
You know, they've done so much hybriding and who knows what to it that you, that's one of the reasons there's so much gluten intolerance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Go for real ancient grain
yeah.
wheat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we can all get back to eating bread. Wouldn't that be a great thing?
Yeah.
And it gets back to having real food and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff that's not modified for
yeah.
sure. I just want to mention real quick beans, because you grow a lot of varieties of dry beans.
Yeah, and I'm growing, well, just off the top of my head, pintos, black beans, Montezuma reds, which is a red chili bean, Swedish brown's a real nice bean. Most of them that I'm growing are bush habit. The pintos can be as a semi-runner, and they run a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you dry land farm them or hardly water them.
Right.
So that they won't run. And I actually have some other beans that the more you water them, the more they grow and the less they bloom. As soon as you stop watering, they bloom and they produce. You know, they really do want to be dry land.
They want to be dry land, yeah.
So I'm growing 5 50-foot rows. That's just what works out. My rows are 50 mm-hmm. feet long. So if I grow any variety of beans, it's 5 50-foot rows, 250 feet.
Wow.
And I'll get anywhere from 3 to 5 gallons, depending on the year.
Okay. You know, so that same yield thing kind of works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that sounds like a no-brainer to me. I mean, try dry beans.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it's easy.
It's easy. Yeah.
It's easy. And I plant in those rows, I'm planting that. Those rows are 12 inches apart, and I'm planting every 4 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then save some for seed.
Yeah. And you mm-hmm. set it when you get it all harvested and cleaned, which. That's a whole other story.
Right.
Yeah, beans are really easy. You just stomp on them and winnow them and you're done.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, all kinds of stuff to plant. Spring grain, summer grain,
yeah.
dry land beans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is spring out there. You know, we're going to be back next week. It is spring pledge drive here at KVNF. And then the following week, our old pal Lulu will be back
yeah.
in the house for the summer. So you want to stay tuned for that, and we'll have all kinds of special guests
yeah.
coming up. Ron Godin's going to join
yeah.
us.
I'll give Ron a call.
Yep, soil Make scientist and all kinds of fun. So stay tuned and keep listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. It is One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening.
Right.
Good night, Lance.
Good night. Have a good day.
Equipped with taillight neon, you've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.